She'll probably be trying to get out. But Madison, she's having fun, living an old-time radio life. Our explanation is done.
Madison is on the air.
Broadway is my beat. From Times Square to Columbus Circle, the gaudiest, the most violent, the lonesomest mile in the world.
Broadway's My Beat is one of the best noir shows from old-timey radio. But, I had a weird experience on this one.
Broadway. It's the place you drifted to because the other promises you made to yourself never happened. You leave your life behind and stand on a street corner beating down the scream in your throat. It's the best of the 1,001 nights you've dreamed of.
Okay, that's Detective Lieutenant Danny Clover. He's got all these great noir monologues. Like, really descriptive. But, well, you'll see.
Broadway. The one place in the world where something happens to you outside of the movies. It always happens. Something starts at the tap on the shoulder, the laughter that floats down to your end of the bar, the smile, the special delivery, the phone call.
Your phone's ringing, Danny.
Danny? I'm Danny?
Aren't you going to answer it?
Who are you?
Sergeant Tartaglia. I think you've been pulling too many late nights.
Tartaglia. Okay.
Maybe you best answer the phone, huh, Danny?
Oh, right. Yeah. Sup?
You gotta help. You gotta come here. You gotta come to my home.
Whoa, hang on. I think you got the wrong number. The police?
Yes, Danny. We're the police.
Sorry. Guess it is the right number. Who is this?
Mrs. Corey. Please, please. My husband.
Your husband what?
A suicide pact. He's trying to force me to kill myself. I don't want to die. He's gonna make me.
Hello? Hello?
Hello.
Okay, who's this? What just happened?
I'm Mr. Corey. I've just killed my wife. Now is the time for my dying.
What? Don't do it!
Goodbye.
Crap! Oh, I didn't know what to say! I never worked one of those suicide prevention hotlines. I worked a sex talk hotline. And come to think of it, one of the guys who called did threaten to commit suicide after talking to me. But that wasn't my fault. I thought he wanted erotic humiliation. BDSM is so confusing.
I'm sorry, Danny, but he hung up too soon. Couldn't trace it.
I'm gonna need a minute.
Sure, Danny. Sure.
And maybe screen my calls so I don't get any more murdery death ones.
You're the head of homicide, Danny.
Homicide? This is what I get for listening to all those true crime podcasts. Ah!
It began that way, with a desperate protest against private agonies.
Oh, God. Here comes the voice again.
The protest that can't face the loneliness of death and must kill the loved one so that the path into darkness will not be walked alone. The man, Corey, murdered his wife and then himself. And the glittering, blood-spangled shriek for attention set into motion an old, familiar routine. The official collecting of the dead. But first, we had to find them.
I got the phone book, Danny. By my count, 25 Coreys.
Okay, and you are?
Detective Mugovan. They're pulling your car around.
Thanks, Tartaglia.
Sure.
You want to split the Coreys in half, Danny?
I guess?
The treasure hunt for the dead.
Treasure hunt for the dead? Ugh.
What's that you say?
Didn't you hear him?
Hear what?
Just me, then. Great!
See you back here later, Danny.
So, for this OTR zap, I'm physically presenting as a New York City homicide detective. And now I have to go out and find some dead people while this dude in my head waxes poetic about it. It could be worse. I'll try to think of how.
The first Corey was very much alive. She said so.
Nobody dead here. Everybody much, much alive. Come on in and I'll prove it to you.
You're Mrs. Corey, and you live alone?
Uh-huh.
No Mr. Corey?
Divorced.
And you keep calling yourself Mrs. Corey? This is the perfect time to pick your own name. Not a name your dad gave you or the name your husband gave you. You don't have to be affiliated with a man's name at all. You can give yourself your own identity.
Then I'd have to change all my monogram towels.
All my bath towels are beach towels. I appreciate the size and absorbency.
Love it. You see now, I'm all alone. Just you and me. Touch me. I ain't dead.
Ah, I almost forgot I look like Danny Clover to everyone, who must be a pretty hunky dude. Sorry, baby. Maybe if we'd met in another place, in another lifetime.
What?
Yeah, I better leave the noir monologues to the other guy.
Yeah, sure. My name is Corey. Why do you have to know?
Don't give me attitude bowling shirt, which has a stain on it, by the way. Why didn't your wife clean your shirt? You murder her?
Moira, what are you talking about?
I'm here because a Mr. Corey killed his wife.
Killed his wife, huh? Guts. That takes guts.
And you got no guts?
Afraid not. Wife's in the kitchen washing out my work pants so I can go out and look for work. Come on, I'll show it to you.
And I'll show her that spaghetti stain.
Even if you are a policeman, it doesn't give you a right to ask me a thing like that. I love my wife. We never say a harsh word to each other.
Couples who say they never argue are usually the ones who kill each other.
That's preposterous.
Every relationship has to have communication, and screaming at the top of your lungs is communication.
Our communication is just fine, thank you.
Then you'll have no problem letting me see your wife.
She's asleep.
Seriously? It's almost noon.
She sleeps this late every day. I was just preparing her breakfast.
If I had a man who let me sleep till noon and made me breakfast, I'd probably never argue either.
If you had a man?
Don't get hung up on that. Love is love. Now I gotta see your wife so I can check you off my list of Corey's who killed his spouse.
Very well. Fanny, wake up for a minute. It's a policeman. He wants to know, did we have a suicide pact?
Suicide pact? Tell him no, but thank him for the suggestion.
I can feel the love.
You finish your list, Danny?
Yeah, that was a morning well spent. I have successfully pissed off a dozen Coreys, which hasn't happened since I stalked Corey Feldman. I just seen a screening of The Lost Boys. I was in this vampire phase. Long story short, I never even made it over his fence.
Uh-huh. Right. So, did you find our Corey?
No. No dead Mr. Coreys, no dead Mrs. Coreys. You?
No. Maybe it was a joke, huh, Danny? A practical joke?
Playing out a suicide pact over the phone to cops is some pretty dark humor. Although, I wouldn't put it past Corey Haim during one of his drug-induced spectacles. Now there's a Corey tragedy.
Well, I didn't finish my list. I got two more to go.
So why are you back here if you aren't done yet? This is the 1950s. I'm pretty sure there aren't any union-mandated breaks. You just work till you drop.
The reason I didn't finish, Danny, I had to come back to headquarters to... I just got tired.
Ugh, so I suppose you want me to finish it?
Here, Danny, just two more.
All right, off to see another Corey. I wear my sunglasses at night so I can. Yeah, those are the only lyrics I remember.
Maybe Mugovan was right.
About what? My singing? What did he say?
Maybe it had been a joke. Someone's grisly idea of a joke to play on the gullible police. There are people like that, and there are people who make a pact to die.
No offense, dude, but you got some dark thoughts. Maybe see a therapist? Or how about a potted plant for your desk? Plants really cheer up a place. Until you forget to water them. Then it's just a slow, agonizing death. Geez, maybe I need to see a therapist.
The first Corey on Mugovan's remaining list of two was an invalid, a bedridden woman tended by her middle-aged bachelor son.
Please, won't you come in? Stay a little while. This is the most interesting thing to ever happen to us. Right, Mother?
Close the door. You're letting in a draft, Junior.
I'm sorry.
Aw, poor guy. In my day, guys like him get to troll women online to make up for their pathetic life and lack of masculinity.
At the last place, the manager of a plush apartment house just off the park told me Indeed, yes Indeed, he had a Mr. and Mrs. Corey.
Oh, yes, indeed. They've been with us, 5 years, I should say.
Okay, they got some books. Which apartment is theirs?
3A. You understand, of course, that solicitors and peddlers are not allowed on the premises.
Actually, I don't understand. What's the difference between a solicitor and a peddler?
A solicitor takes orders for items, but a peddler has the items and sells them direct.
Okay, then why do Brits call lawyers solicitors?
I'm sure I don't know.
That's not a British accent?
No.
Oh, just a snotty accent.
What does this have to do with Mr. and Mrs. Corey?
Oh, I'm from the police. See? That's a real badge. Police.
Police? For Mr. and Mrs. Corey?
So, which way to 3A?
Down this center hall. But we'll announce ourselves first, shall we?
I lived in a building with an intercom buzzer. When I came home drunk and couldn't find my key, I'd just buzz every apartment until someone buzzed me in. And only twice did I stumble into the wrong apartment.
No answer.
3 times! Ah, I forgot old lady Kowalski. She thought I was her cat who got out. She fed me for 3 days. But when she tried to make me use the litter box, I decided it was time to go.
Well, it appears the Coreys are not at home.
I drove all the way down here. Grab a key. Let's go take a look.
Oh, I'm sorry, but I must protest.
Old lady Kowalski tried to protest, and I scratched the hell out of her. Would you like a repeat performance?
Very well. Here's the key. After me, please. Whew.
Dude, I love apartment buildings with carpet in the halls. Not having to worry about people vomiting in the hallway shows the place has real class.
Yes. Here we are. Mr. Corey, I'm so sorry, but there's someone here from the police. Mr. Corey? Mrs. Corey?
Use the magic key, huh?
But I don't believe you have the right to intrude like this.
Go ahead and report me. You'll be lost in bureaucratic paperwork for years.
See? There's no one at home. They've gone out.
Oh, I love rich people's apartments. They got the coolest stuff. OMG! Is that a hi-fi stereo? Oh, it's the size of a washing machine!
As you can see, everything is in apple pie order.
Oh, that must be the bedroom.
What are you looking for? Why do you pry so?
Want to come in here and check it out?
Certainly not. My position here comes with an expectation of respect of our tenant's privacy.
Are you sure? It's really good.
Well, I should probably verify you haven't touched any of their personal effects. There's nothing unusual in here.
There aren't any Coreys in here.
As I have already stated, they are not at home.
Which means they're dead.
What do you mean, they're dead?
They're the last Coreys on the list and they can't be found. So they must be the dead Coreys.
Oh, oh my.
Don't go fainting on me. Here, sit on this chair.
Yes. Thank you.
Dude, is this real velvet? I wonder if they'll have an estate sale.
If Mr. and Mrs. Corey are...
dead?
If they are, you might be interested in something. A young woman called just a while ago. She said she'd been trying to reach Mr. and Mrs. Corey all morning on their private phone. There was no answer, so she left the message with me.
Jeez, life before voicemail. It's like the Stone Age. Though, I think the Flintstones had a pterodactyl who took messages.
The woman left her name and phone number. They interest you?
Sure. Go get them. I'll be here checking out what's worth buying at the estate sale. I noticed a jewelry box in the bedroom.
This time it was easier. The message was from one Zella Stanley. The phone number to match was as easy as investing a nickel in the nearest phone booth and telling Zella Stanley you were the police and asking her if she had been calling the Corys and would she be home and I wanted to talk with her. Miss Stanley was, in turn, noncommittal, puzzled, cooperative. Please come up, Mr. Clover. The address is 1520 West 46th, Apartment 2A.
I'm confused. Did the noir voice in my head just make a phone call?
Mr. Clover?
Yes, that was me on the phone.
Please come in.
Nice place. I'd live in New York if I could afford places like you guys.
Thank you. Please sit down. Let me get these things out of here. I was so tired when I came home last night I undressed walking into the bedroom.
Oh, I've been there, girl. Sometimes I don't even make it to the bedroom. I wake up face down in the hall in nothing but my bra and panties.
Bra and panties?
Don't judge. Some men like the feel of silk next to their skin.
Of course. Won't you sit down?
Appreciate it. So let's talk Mr. and Mrs. Corey. You
don't put me on the defensive, Mr. Clover. I want to help you with whatever it is, so just let me tell you.
Go for it.
I'd been calling Alice all morning.
Alice? Oh, is that Mrs. Corey's first name? I hate how the past erases women's identities. Mrs. Bob Corey. Like, what is that?
Tom.
Tom what?
Her husband's name is Tom.
Oh, I was just making a point about not knowing her first name. But I guess I didn't know his first name either.
May I continue?
Please.
I'd been trying to ring Alice. There'd been no answer at her apartment.
Why were you calling her over and over again?
I just wanted to talk to her.
Just to talk?
Sure.
Ugh, I hate phone conversations. I'm not used to giving my full, undivided attention to one thing. My generation multitasks, which means we do a bunch of things all at the same time, really half-assed.
There was something I wanted to bring up to her. Something unusual.
Ooh, spill the tea.
Sorry, did you want tea?
Just go on.
Well, I was at the Corys last night for bridge, and there was something in that house that had never been there before. Something was wrong.
Was it the hi-fi stereo? I won't buy it at the estate sale if it isn't working.
No, nothing like that. There was no laughter between the two of them. Silence, mostly, and now and then a bitter word. Look, I've known them for years. The Corys have been the cliché of matrimonial bliss. It embarrassed me. I left early.
Doesn't bridge usually have, like, four people?
Yes, Tom's partner was there as well.
Tom Corey's partner? Maybe that's what happened to the marital bliss.
His business partner, Henry Fairchild. Fairchild of Corey and Fairchild?
They some kind of rock band or something? I really don't know your 50s music. All I can think of is Elvis. Ooh, then the hi-fi stereo probably isn't worth it.
The Corey and Fairchild factory? They make small things, electrical parts or something. I don't know specifically.
Okay, you got anything else from last night?
Just that Tom was depressed. Alice looked, well, frightened. I mean, I'd never seen Alice look frightened, but I think that's what it was. Henry did everything he could to brighten things up, but it didn't work. You go ask him. Ask Henry Fairchild of Corey and Fairchild. Ask him.
Corey and Fairchild? Didn't they record Dead Men's Curve?
My secretary tells me you are from the police. I can't tell you how delighted I am to see you.
Glad to hear it, Mr. Fairchild. Of Corey and Fairchild. The factory, not the rock band.
Come over here, Mr. Clover. I want you to see something. I'll draw these drapes back. Look down there. What do you think of my factory?
I think you're lucky OSHA won't exist until 1971.
I'll tell you what this factory is. It's 10 years of our lives. 10 years of blood, sweat, and tears.
Are we back to rock bands?
10 years, and he walks out on it. Squashes it like it was a cockroach.
Cockroaches? Again, OSHA, 1971.
Corey and Fairchild is ruined. Destroyed. Milked dry. All that work. Sucked dry because he was greedy. $50,000. Arrest him, Mr. Clover. Go arrest him.
I'm very confused, but I'm also a woman in a man's body, so I think some level of confusion comes with the territory.
Arrest him for grand larceny. Arrest him for being an ungrateful, greedy...
Slow your roll there, okay? Money problems have broken up many a rock band. You might still get a solo career. Are you the Simon or the Garfunkel?
You're a police officer? Look at these books! Ah, but you wouldn't know how to read these financial books. Give it to your experts. They'll know.
Did you just imply I'm too stupid to read a bank book?
Then look! There, you can see how month after month he stole 5,000 here, 3 here, 10 here, 2 here.
Okay, you proved your point. I don't understand any of this. So, when did you see him last?
Last night. We were playing bridge. I didn't know what was upsetting him, but of course, this morning I find out it was all because of this.
Dude, I totes get your feelings of betrayal. Imagine sharing a dorm room with your best friend from childhood, and then one day coming back from class to find everything you owned was gone.
Did you call the police?
She sure did. Thankfully, I was in Cancun for spring break, and Mexico wasn't willing to extradite.
Yes, well, when you arrest him, tell him I'll make it a point to visit him in jail.
Bad news on that front. According to a very disturbing phone call I got this morning, still a little traumatized, Corey killed his wife and then himself.
What? He didn't have to do that. He could have come to me. I would have... I'd have helped him.
Thing is, we can't find the Coreys. I know, embarrassing, right? But they weren't at their apartment. Do you know any other murder, suicide places they might hang out at?
Did you try their place on Fire Island?
Fire Island? Isn't that an LGBTQ plus vacay spot?
They have a house on Fire Island. You think we should try there, Mr. Clover?
Well, I'm a woman in a man's body. I think I'll fit right in. Let's hit it.
And we did. Mr. Fairchild drove me out to the landing dock and hired the power launch that took us to Fire Island. Then the short walk across the bone-white sands to a small cottage. The front of it was draped with a yellow fishing net and life preservers whitewashed for the season. Starfish had been nailed over the door. The top of the door was a glass porthole, and the door was open.
Not gonna lie, thought Fire Island would be a lot more happening. Is it the off-season?
Would you look at this? The door was left open. First time I've ever seen that here.
Instead of hot men with Mai Tais on the beach, we're gonna find stanky dead bodies on the floor. Okay. Alice called me on the phone. Do you know where a landline would be in here? Stuck on a wall or a table or one of those tiny closets?
Phone booth?
Yeah, that's it.
In a house?
I don't know, out back. Isn't that sometimes where you put the toilet?
I believe their phone is in the bedroom.
Ah, gotcha.
Aren't you going in there?
Just trying to mentally prepare for the dead body. No matter how many times I see one, I still get that pang in my stomach. You know, like the one right before the impact in a car accident?
I've never been in a car accident.
Oh my God, me? Way too many to count. Pang! And also, ew, gross!
Poor Alice. She had nothing to do with it.
Shot through the chest. That's my worst nightmare. I think about my implants exploding like water balloons.
I wish I could have helped her.
Wait a sec. Where's Mr. Corey?
What?
It was a suicide pact. He shot her, then himself. So where is himself?
Oh, yes.
Dude, look! Blood trail! It goes out the back door! Okay, preparing for body number 2.
Well?
I'm pangless. The blood just stops.
But no Tom? Where is he? You said he committed suicide.
Guess it wasn't a suicide pact. Just your ordinary everyday murder.
There's this about Broadway. It wants everything neat and in place. A word misspelled on a spectacular can stop traffic. A girl lamenting a run in her nylons. Likewise, and for longer, the scream of the loudspeakers has to be adjusted just so. Even death and violence have to meet Broadway's standards. The death of Alice Corey by a bullet through the heart, that would measure up. This violence committed upon her by her husband, very poignant, very classy. We've stood in line for worse, huh, kid? A man makes a pact with his wife to commit double suicide, kills his wife, only wounds himself. It's hard to do when you're hungry for dying, and harder still to be wounded and disappear from an island.
He's right. It should be hard to disappear off an island. I mean, it took the castaways 3 seasons to get off of Gilligan's Island. Well, 3 seasons and a movie special.
I still don't understand. If I'd wanted to kill myself, I'd have succeeded. How could Tom only have wounded himself?
Wow, arrogant much? Oh, If I was going to kill myself, I'd have done it right. It's so easy to play Monday morning suicide pact guy.
I only meant...
Okay, listen. He starts by shooting Alice in the heart, right? Then when he went to shoot himself, he flinched. Just wounded himself. Then, when he saw he wasn't dead, he was all, Hallelujah! Praise Jesus! I'm happy to be alive! Born again!
But that means he committed...
Murder. Yup. When someone kills someone else, we and the police call it murder.
I see.
Where else on the island could he be?
We've covered all of it. Even places I never knew existed.
Then he probably went back to the city, right? Fire Island isn't part of New York City, is it?
No, it's not.
Wow, so I'm totes out of my jurisdiction.
We can hire another boat down there at the landing dock to head back. I don't mind telling you, I'm tired, Mr. Clover.
Oh, wait! Wouldn't Tom have had to get a boat?
Yes, he doesn't own his own vessel.
You know those guys down there, right? Ask them if they took him across.
All right. Did anyone here take Tom Corey across today?
Joe Graham did, Mr. Fairchild.
Where is he?
Just the other side of the landing. See his boat?
Sweet! I got this. Joe?
Wait! Mr. Clover!
Sup? You Joe Graham? Hello? Are you Joe Graham? Can you understand the words that I am saying, or do I legally need to provide you with a translator? Which I guess is pointless for me to ask, since if you didn't understand the first thing I said, then you certainly didn't understand the second.
Hello, Joe!
Hi there, Mr. Fairchild.
You do understand me, you big faker!
Joe, this is Mr. Clover. He's a detective. He wants to...
I got it now. Joe, did you take Tom Corey across today? Oh, come on! You just answered him!
You want to know too, Mr. Fairchild?
We both do, Joe.
Yeah, I took Tom across.
When?
You say something, Mr. Fairchild?
When did you take him across, Joe?
Are you freaking kidding me? For once, I'm actually presenting as a man, and I'm still getting talked over and cut out of the conversation.
Took him early in the day, around noon, Mr. Fairchild.
Did he say anything to you?
Tell your friend, I'm a very sociable person, Mr. Fairchild. People talk to me. I talk to people. People I care about, that is.
How the hell am I supposed to get you to care about me if you won't even talk to me? OMG, am I interrogating this guy or breaking up with him?
Mr. Clover asked you that, Joe, because Tom Corey is a murderer. He killed Mrs. Corey this morning.
I guess that's why Tom wasn't very talkative. Had things on his mind. Just kept biting his lip. Just sat huddled there. Didn't think it proper to ask him why. Glad I didn't.
Okay, last question. Where'd you take him?
Where I always took him, Mr. Fairchild.
That was me! That was me asking!
Like I've taken you, Mr. Fairchild, and him, and Alice, many times. So we could go back to your factory over there.
Fine! Mr. Fairchild, ask Joe if he'll take us back.
Will you take us back, Joe?
You and, the detective?
Yes, right! Me!
Yeah, Joe.
It'll cost you more for him. Hop aboard. I'll take you.
I haven't had this much trouble getting on a boat since the Pirates of the Caribbean ride. I thought that bottle of rum I brought made the ride more authentic. Yo-ho-ho!
Danny!
Oh, hey. I want to say Tartuga?
Tartaglia. And you know we are friends, and you can call me Gino, Danny.
Good. That's easier to remember.
It came through. I'm going to miss you.
Did I get fired?
You, Danny? This place would fall apart without you.
I've had workplaces fall apart because of me.
Well, thanks in part to yours truly's recommendation to Captain Julius that perchance you were being overworked to the bone, said captain did henceforth give his personal okay to a vacation request for one Lieutenant Danny Clover, of which I now present forthwith.
Vacay? For reals?
Much deserved and much overdue. So, where are you going, Danny? For I've been mulling over the travel folders, me and Mrs. Tartaglia, and we feel the place for you is Mexico.
Really? You think Mexico?
Si, in Ensenada, in Mexico, in the Riviera Pacifico. Imagine you with a Serafina over your shoulder, maracas on your feet, and La Cucaracha on your lips. Si, Mexico, mon amigo.
Gino Tartaglia, aren't you Italian? You couldn't even accidentally get some of those Spanish words correct?
Lieutenant Clover, they told me to come right in. I'm Dr. Haskell.
Sorry, can't help you. I'm on vacay.
Well, effective at the end of your work, Danny.
What time am I supposed to be off?
When the case is solved.
Ah, you teased me with this vacation thing. See if I bring you any souvenirs back from Mexico.
They said you'd want to see me.
Okay. If this is for a physical, I can explain why I don't have a prostate.
No, I was told that you were working on something that might have something to do with what I want to see you about.
This blank expression is because I have no idea what you just said.
I'll see that you're not disturbed, Danny.
Don't you want to hang around and help me figure out what he's talking about?
I am merely a desk sergeant. Solving puzzles is for lieutenants who get vacation requests approved.
Okay. You want to run that all by me again?
I'll explain it. About 20 minutes ago, a man forced his way into my office. I say he forced himself because he had a gun.
Damn. What do you look like?
About 40, strongly built. I wrote it all down here because I knew you'd want to know. Here.
This happened about 20 minutes ago? Oh, dude, did he have a bullet wound?
Yes. How did you know?
Sorry, Doc. We're already on page 38. Way too much to review. Just let me know. Was he hurt real bad?
He'll die unless there's a miracle. I gave him plasma, extracted the bullet. He was shot under the heart. He wouldn't let me give him anesthetic. Unless he's found immediately, he'll die.
Why didn't you keep him there? You just operated on him and kicked him out? What are you, part of an HMO?
No, I told you, he had a gun.
I should try that the next time I'm refused a referral.
Just came in, Danny, over the teletype.
So much for no one disturbing me, Gino.
He said
Danny,
it was
important.
Fine, what? This is cutting into my leaving for vacay.
It's an item about a woman you talked to earlier, Zella Stanley.
Okay, what about her?
She was found in her apartment. Shot to death.
Dang. She had some expensive stuff. I wonder if she's gonna have an estate sale.
Pretty expensive dress she's wearing, huh, Danny?
Yeah, but even if I could get those bloodstains out, I got at least a cup size on her. I'd be squished in there like a cat in a shoebox.
She must have been very pretty once.
Before the gaping hole in her chest? Definitely.
The way she's lying, he must have shot her the minute she opened the door. Fell back, came right out of her shoes.
Ooh, those are cute shoes. Check to see if they have any blood splatter.
Maybe we should go look in the bedroom, Danny?
I call dibs on anything in a size 6.
Okay, Danny. Oh, look at that. Radio phonograph combo. Also very expensive.
It's so crazy to think how much money people spend on technology that just goes obsolete. I can't even imagine what iPhone number they're up to now. When I finally get back to my time, I bet my iPhone 12 will be as outdated as that radio record player.
Look around, Danny. The bed, also the furnishings. Very expensive. Wonder how she managed. Maybe she was rich, huh?
Or maybe she had a sugar daddy.
A what?
Check out these men's shirts in her closet. Oh, snap. Look at this robe. It has the initials TC, Tom Corey.
Embroidered initials in silk. Wish I could afford things like that.
You could get your own sugar daddy. We'll hit Fire Island and get you one.
So it began to take shape.
Oh, noir monologue guy is back. Thought I lost you.
Tom Corey had killed his wife, turned the gun on himself, had missed his heart. Then he had decided to rid himself of the source of his trouble, Zella Stanley. Committed grand larceny, committed murder, 2 murders. Now he was a dying man someplace in the city. Find him. We tried all points bulletins, newspaper releases, calling the hospitals, then back to headquarters and wait.
So have days passed then? I haven't slept this whole time. Can't you throw in a, I went home and got a solid 8 hours or something?
Then nod to a man who nudged his head through a door and listened to his story.
Ugh, this case is taking forever.
I run Diamond Hotel on 37th Street. A little while ago, a man came into my place to register.
No offense, but I haven't slept in days. So explain to me why listening to you is more important than my taking a nap.
I've worked in hotels for years. I can sense things about people when things aren't right.
I get that. When you work customer service, you gotta prepare for the next turbo Karen to cross your path. So you start looking for the red flags in everyone. Let's see. Who here is dissatisfied with their life and wants to take it out on a customer service employee who has no choice but to suffer the abuse?
I tell you what I first noticed. The man had no bags. I saw that right away when I handed him the pen to write.
Not unusual if you run one of those hotels that rent by the hour.
I do not!
Darn, I was gonna ask how much you charged.
There's more. He say, you write my name for me. It's Smith. That's what he say. Write John Smith. I say, why? He say, because I got my hands in my pockets. That's why. I say, oh, you do.
You either make your point or I am face planting on this desk for a nap.
The point is this. I look over the desk at his hands in his pockets just to see. What I see is the side of his coat, bloody. Then he got Kiji.
Kiji?
Da, Kiji. I say, how long you want the room? Months, days, week? And he look at me funny and he say all he want to do was rest for a while. I say, uh-uh, because I see trouble. He leave. I come here. I did right, didn't I?
Phone's ringing, Danny.
Aw, poor Danny.
Danny Clover's office, Sergeant Tartaglia speaking.
There's a man in my house.
To whom am I speaking?
Mrs. Barry, I live on West 57th Street, 1209. I'm frightened. There's a man...
One moment. Let me get the lieutenant. Danny, hey, Danny, there's a woman on the phone for you.
Oh, this is so weird. I was dreaming my balls itch.
Danny?
Danny? Oh, I'm Danny. So I must have been dreaming that Danny's balls itch.
Hello? Hello?
There's a Mrs. Barry on the phone for you, Danny. Says there's a man in her house.
So?
A man who presumably is not meant to be there?
Give me the phone. Okay, what's going on?
The man in my house. He rang my bell and pointed a gun at me and walked inside.
Damn. How long ago did he leave?
He's still here.
What are you, calling from a closet or something?
No, he looked tired. He sat in the big chair in the parlor. He fell asleep. He's there now, sleeping.
I'll be right there. Oh, hey, if he wakes up, could you ask him if his balls itch?
Danny, what are you talking about?
I don't know. Do all men's balls itch when they wake up?
I'll get a car sent around for you, Danny.
Can't you understand? He's gone.
You called me like 10 minutes ago.
But you didn't get here for 30 minutes.
I just woke up. I had to stop for a coffee on the way. And some talcum powder. It's like a phantom itch.
Well, he was sitting in that chair sleeping. He woke up and left.
Okay, jeez. You're yelling at me like it's my fault. Here's a hint. Next time a guy comes knocking on your door, don't let him in.
He had a gun.
All the more reason not to let him in.
He had a gun pointed at my nose. What did you want me to do? Hit him over the head with a candlestick?
It worked for Miss Scarlet.
And would you look at that? He left blood all over my rug. Who's going to pay to clean it? Mr. Clover? Now you're sleeping in my chair.
Back to headquarters again. Then a phone call from a pedestrian who had just seen a man who fit Tom Corey's description on West 62nd. The man was staggering, Mr. Clover. So Mr. Clover dispatched a squad car to the area. The man was nowhere in sight. Then Mr. Clover sat down and thought about it.
Is it because I'm tired or you're tired that you're referring to yourself in the third person?
Tom Corey left Fire Island by boat. Found a doctor on 12th Street in the village. Put a thumbtack on the map.
Oh, I'm sorry. Am I supposed to... I mean, you made the phone call earlier, so I thought you could...
Tom Corey tried to get a room at the Diamond Hotel on West 37th. Thumbtack.
West 37th. Got it!
Tom Corey had murdered Zella Stanley, West 46th. Thumbtack.
Got it!
Tom Corey had been asleep in a parlor on West 57th. Thumbtack. Then a phone call. Man, probably Tom Corey, seen staggering on West 62nd. Thumbtack, Tom Corey was headed uptown.
Wait, I'm still looking for West 57th!
Tom Corey was crazed with pain. Then a recheck in my notebook. Tom Corey had a partner named Henry Fairchild. Henry Fairchild lived uptown. He lived on West 70th. Maybe I could get there before Tom Corey.
Who is it?
Open up! It's the police! I've always wanted to do that. Did I sound menacing? I want her to sound menacing.
Come in, quickly. I'm glad it's you.
Something got you spooked?
Huh? What?
You just bolted the door. The only time I bolted a door that fast was when my boyfriend's ex came looking for him. She was all pounding on the door and threatening me like a real crazy bee to the itch, right? Turns out, not an ex. Still married.
I read it in the newspapers that Tom is still on the loose.
You think he'll be crazy like my boyfriend's ex who wasn't actually an ex?
Of course. Isn't it obvious? Tom killed his wife. Killed Zella. Now he's on his way here. Isn't that why you came here? You knew he would come here.
I'm just curious. How did you know that answer? Can you show your work?
Tom is out of his mind. He killed Zella, didn't he? You know why, too, don't you? You found his shirts there, didn't you? At Zella's?
That's a very good point. That wasn't in the newspapers.
Well, I know it wasn't. It's simply that Tom told me all about it. About Tom and Zella and how expensive she was. That's why he stole all that money.
Oh, yeah. Being a sugar daddy is not cheap. It's like buying a high-end sports car. Some guys want one so bad that they get one even though they can't make the payments. And then the girl gets repossessed.
Mr. Clover!
No, no. We're not doing guns. Give me the gun.
I need it.
No, you don't. Give it to me.
No.
Damn! I'm digging this muscular detective body. Wrestling you was like wrestling a bowl of Jell-O. Not wrestling in a bowl of Jell-O. That's really slippery. You must be Tom.
Shoot him! Shoot him! He'll kill me!
Oh, looks like you got a gun, too. I'll be taking that. I feel like I could run a marathon right now.
Please. He wants to.
Let's get you in a chair, huh? Although, Mrs. Barry is pretty PO'd about the blood you got all over her chair. But I'm sure Mr. Fairchild would be okay with it. Right, Mr. Fairchild? Look at this! Corey and Fairchild! We got the band back together!
Don't believe him, Mr. Clover. Don't believe anything Corey says!
Okay. Example?
He's gonna tell you that I killed his wife, that I shot him, that I stole the money. Ridiculous things! Crazy things! Because he's crazy now.
Tom's crazy? Because right now, you're giving off the crazy vibe.
No, it's Tom! He's crazy! He's gonna say that Zella and I arranged the whole thing to make it look like a suicide pact. That I killed Zella. Tom? Tom?
Yeah, Tom's dead. But I appreciate the confession. Wraps up everything for me pretty neatly. Ooh, hey, that stereo you got over there. Since you're going to prison for the rest of your life, you think you might sell it?
Broadway stretches out in front of you, a livid scar slashed into the night. It's a cruel and fantastic carousel, palace of fun, a hall of mirrors. You pay your way and you make your choice. Me, I get in on a pass, on Broadway, the gaudiest, the most violent, the lonesomest mile in the world. Broadway, my beat.
Broadway's My Beat aired on CBS from February 1949 to August 1954. Originally recorded in New York, the show very quickly relocated to Hollywood, which led to the recasting of Detective Danny Clover with Larry Thor, a fixture in radio both as an actor and announcer. Although Dragnet is hailed as paving the way for realistic portrayals of the police, Broadway's My Beat actually premiered before Dragnet, though never gained the same attention as the Jack Webb series. The writers, Morton Fine and David Friedkin, brought poetry to Danny's descriptions of the city, always showing his dedication to Broadway while still expressing his exhaustion with the crime and violence. CBS primarily used the series as filler for time slots vacant from other shows' hiatuses or cancellations, and of the 212 episodes created, only about 150 have survived to today. Hey everybody, it's Madison. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget, we have a Patreon! What? Like every other podcast out there? Yes! For only $5 a month, you can get sneak peeks and Madison exclusives. But mostly, you're helping to support our little indie show. Link in the show notes! But I know it's hard to financially support all of your favorite shows. So really, if you could write us a nice review, give us 5 stars, or a shout out on your favorite socials, anything to help get the word out would mean so much. Okay, announcer dude, roll the credits!
Madison on the Air was written and produced by Chrissy Talon Sage with music composition and audio engineering by Jeremy Sage. The role of Madison Standish was played by Chrissy Talon Sage. David Pinion appeared as Lieutenant Danny Clover. Other actors in the cast were Scott R. McKinley as Henry Fairchild, Paul Arbisi as Sergeant Tartaglia, James Blanchard as Sergeant Mugovan, Sharon Gruenwald as Zella Stanley, Andrew James Wilson as the apartment manager, Jerry Kokich as Joe Graham, James C. Taylor as Dr. Haskell and Blue Collar Corey, Jeremy Sage as the hotel manager and Wimpy Corey, Jamie Forney as Mrs. Barry and Fanny, Tom O'Connor as Junior Corey, Boatman and Tom Corey, and Chelsea Greer as Sexy Mrs. Corey and Mother Corey.